This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rand exclusive.
A man who says he suffers from mental illness keeps cycling through the King County criminal justice system over and over and over again some more. This is someone who's got a long history of suicide by cop attempts. Someone is bound to get hurt and or killed if this man is not kept in jail. And yet, he never seems to stay in jail for very long. Not long enough to keep us safe from his alleged criminal acts. This is a man who is accused of trying to take hostages as a target in West Seattle. It happened Friday night, where police say he barricaded himself inside of this Target for hours. And he posted videos of himself from inside the store after he was threatening these would-be hostages with a knife. It is not the first time he's been accused of trying to hold shoppers hostage at a department store. This is a suspect who has been arrested and charged with assaulting a Seattle police officer just 8 days prior to this. And yet, instead of being in prison, or at least subject to bail, because this guy is apparently homeless, he would be in jail right now. But instead, a judge releases him on his own personal recognizance, which set the stage for the suspect to try to take over this Target. Now, this happened, it all started, actually, in the afternoon on Friday, about 4:43 p.m., according to court documents. He calls 911. He says he was going to, quote, take one hostage at knife point. Because according to police, he was apparently, quote, unquote, fixated on the idea of holding someone hostage. He stayed on the line with the 911 operator that he called throughout the entire alleged incident, or at least until the hostage negotiators took over. The caller refused to tell the operator where he was headed because, according to the police documents that detailed the call, quote, he'll just be sent back to the hospital and the hospital won't assist and will just release him. And in this call, he acknowledged his need for mental health services. So he starts from some unknown location in Seattle. He ends up taking the bus, telling the bus driver that he's homeless, so presumably he would get a free ticket. He gets on the bus, he's on the phone the entire time, and he goes to the Target in West Seattle. Apparently his plan was to get a kitchen knife and to, quote, take hostages to be on national news. That's why I'm choosing not to say his name, because it seems like in part he's doing this for some attention. I don't want to give it to him. Now, he gets to the store. He allegedly asks an employee where the knives are. Then he goes to that section, grabs a knife, unwraps it. And according to the police documents, he threatened a female customer as someone else who was witnessing all of this yelled to get out of the building. Now, as the folks in the Target left the building, the suspect allegedly yelled, stop, I'm holding you hostage, and, quote, if I can't get the help I need, I'm holding you hostage. Kind of sounds like he's screaming out for some help. Now, he allegedly approached a bunch of random customers to tell them that they were hostages and that he wanted officers to kill him, according to these police documents, and that he was, quote, planning to run at police with the knife. Now, at that point, it was about 5:45 in the afternoon, so about an hour after he made that first 911 call, and police arrive on the scene. All the people inside of the Target were out. A hostage negotiating team shows up. They connected with this guy. They talked to him over the phone, and he was there barricaded for more than 6 hours. Now, as the police officers were trying to de-escalate the situation, as they've done with this guy before, he told them that he was actively posting updates on his Twitter account while he was inside. Now, I found the Twitter account. It actually follows me on Twitter. I'll tell you why in a bit. But I found the account. He posted a couple videos. He posted some photos from inside. And he starts off by telling his Twitter followers that perhaps this would have been a little bit different if he was able to afford a gun.
Well, in this court case isn't to be funded. No, I'm not representing myself. Yeah, I cannot represent myself for shit. I got super lucky that the prosecutor's office just did bullshit charges on me on that one. See, my face is all messed up because I don't have money for shit, man. So yeah, this will be fun for.
Why does the money, and it cuts off by his account, not our edit. So why does the money part play a role?
This is a very unique barricade situation that I've created. So what happened is I didn't have access to guns because of being a felon, not having money and connections to buy up the street, would not be able to assemble a ghost gun if had the money to purchase the components and the 3D printer and whatever. So this is, in the criminal element, there's nobody even that comes even close to the understanding the tactical and negotiation and having worked for a law enforcement agency. This is a very unique.
And then it stops again. So as you can tell, there is something wrong with him. You can hear it in his voice. You can hear it in the ramblings. You can read it in some of the tweets. So he's doing this. Nothing is happening. The de-escalation was deemed unsuccessful, and so when SWAT arrived on the scene, with permission from the store manager, they decided to enter the building. At 12.05 a.m., the suspect tweeted, SWAT just arrived big time, about 12.15, so this is early Saturday morning. This guy posts a blurry photo of SWAT as they approached him inside the Target. About 6 minutes after that, he posted another photo of SWAT members, and by 12:26 a.m., SWAT had made the arrest. This guy ends up getting booked into the King County Jail. Now, as of yesterday, this had not yet been referred as a case to the King County Prosecutor's Office because they're still going through the paperwork. The prosecutor's office did say that they plan on charging this seriously. But this is a guy who's got a long history of this kind of conduct. He attempted to do the exact same thing last year at a Fred Meyer in Burien. On August 18th, he armed himself with a pair of scissors. He goes into the store. He says he was looking for the kitchen area so he can then get the knives. He found one. He armed himself with one, according to the police document that I got over the weekend. He explained his, quote, intention was to take hostages at the store. In that case, he requested that SWAT and crisis negotiators respond to the crime scene. Now, as the store was being evacuated at the time, he was negotiating with police. Finally, they were able to take him into custody. There were no injuries. He ends up getting charged with felony harassment. But the prosecutor dismissed the charge, and it appears to have been downgraded to a misdemeanor, that according to the prosecutor's office. If you go a year before that, in 2020, he also was accused of going into a Target and pulling a knife, yelling that he wanted to commit a suicide by cop. Which, according to the police documents and the court documents, this guy tried to do at least 11 times prior, suicide by cop. Various circumstances, including one time he went in front of a police precinct with, I believe it was an airsoft gun that was meant to look like a real gun, trying to get them to kill him. 8 days ago, he is accused of assaulting a police officer to the point where it caused an eye contusion. He goes in front of a judge. A judge releases him on his own personal recognizance over the objections of the prosecutor. The day of this event on Friday, the suspect was the subject to a citywide safety warning. one that went out to cops to keep them safe and to give them an update on what they might encounter out in Seattle. This is a system failure. This is a perfect example of how in this city, in this county, number one, we don't take a mental health threat seriously. And he is a threat who is dealing with mental health. That's what this all indicates or implies very strongly. Very strongly. I almost coughed right at that moment. Sorry. I got passionate. I had a tickle in my throat. So this is a guy who very clearly is a threat. And how much time does he end up spending in jail or in some hospital? Whatever they're doing to try to get him treatment, whatever he's doing to try to get treatment, which is unclear, I don't know, I think we can all say is not working. And so at what point does a judge say, you know what, I'm just going to put this person in jail for a very long time. He can get the help there that he desperately needs, but leaving him out, giving him a pass, giving him a release on his own personal recognizance, that puts our community at risk. This is someone who, according to his crisis response plan that I got a hold of, says that he spoke about looking into how to make bombs and wanting to blow up Swedish hospital. The FBI and Swedish were notified at the time. Why is this guy walking on our streets? Why is he allowed to just go freely into another department store to potentially hold people hostage or try to hold people hostage? Thank God he hasn't committed any serious violent act against someone. Not yet. But this feels like escalating behavior. It feels like escalating behavior, and at some point, either this guy or someone else is going to get seriously hurt and or killed. And nothing seems to be getting done about it. Now, I wrote about it. You can text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. I'll go ahead and send you a link to the story. If you missed me on Fox News earlier this morning, I was on with the Faulkner Focus as the lead guest. You can go to our YouTube page and check out that appearance, youtube.com/JasonRANTZ. Or same thing, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Legal.
The U.S. Supreme Court is going to hear a challenge to affirmative action in college applications. And right now, the thinking would be that this would kill the entire practice because of the conservative makeup of this court. There is reason to believe that something dramatic can happen because up until this point, we've had for the last 40 years, we've allowed, under narrow circumstances, private and public colleges to use race as a, I don't know, an issue to help raise the diversity level of a school. And if you do it in a very narrow way, they say that it is legal. But this comes as Asian American applicants say they were discriminated against via Harvard and UNC, University of North Carolina. So a private school and a public school. And the basic argument is that we are doing too well academically, so we're no longer truly seen as Asian or as minorities. Instead, we are looked to as just white people or a minority that is overrepresented. And so we are being dismissed so that schools can better offer spots, open spots, that these Asian students are very clearly qualified for, to Hispanic students or to black students. Now, the last time that this issue was actually challenged in court wasn't all that long ago, but it was at a time where Republicans didn't have control of the court. But at the time, Chief Justice John Roberts and both Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito voted against affirmative action. They're still on the court. On top of that, you now have Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch. That automatically puts it over. Then, of course, you got Amy Coney Barrett. That makes it, just in case things were a little tight, you get that pushing over, we think. Students for Fair Admissions, that's the name of the organization that represents these kids, they say that Harvard imposes a racial penalty on Asian American applicants by scoring them lower in some categories, awarding what they view as, quote, massive preferences to the Black and Hispanic applicants. Harvard says we don't discriminate, blah, 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 blah. You should not get any points, period. Period. For your race or ethnicity or religion or gender identity, you should not get any points, given or taken away. We should be focused on who you are as a person and whether or not you are going to contribute to the campus climate or campus society in a positive way. Now, they believe that diversity makes the campus a better place. And I certainly don't disagree with that on paper. But what they end up doing is saying we're only going to judge people, or we're going to pretend we're not, but we're really giving extra points to people who are of a certain race, which hurts someone else who is more qualified. That's wrong. It's wrong to say I'm going to pick a white person over a black person. If the black person is more qualified than the white, we would call that what? Racist. We would say that, well, that's racist. That's white supremacy. And you'd be right if you're picking the white person because they're white, or you're giving them extra points because they're white. Well, guess what, Jason? This is how privilege works. The scourge of white privilege. They get those extra points in society. And they didn't earn it. Really? All of them? What about the Asians? Well, they're kind of just like white people, because they have the same privileges. What are the privileges? I thought being a person of color, being a minority in this country, automatically takes it away from them. Yeah, but look at the data. Look, they do better academically. They do sometimes better than whites. And you do realize that that makes the point that there isn't the kind of systemic racism that you want to pretend exists. You realize that, right? Shut up, you white privileged dude. I'm Jewish and gay, by the way, so you can't even call me heterosexual. I mean, I think I get some points for that, don't I? No, because you disagree with us. Exactly. If you don't agree with their ideological positions, you end up finding yourself in a position where you do not matter. And if you do not meet the sort of the low bar of where folks on the right or on the left, excuse me, want you to be, if you outperform what you're supposed to be doing as a minority, who apparently folks on the left always seem to believe should be doing really, really poorly, and it's not your fault. We have these expectations of you because of white supremacy. If you don't hold that view, you are looked at as someone who is other. And it is so ironic. I cannot wait until this gets in front of this court. I cannot wait. And for all you Never Trumpers out there who are legitimate conservatives, not the grifters who are on TV or in the Lincoln Project, the ones who just loathe Donald Trump for his personality. And again, I understand why someone might loathe Donald Trump for his personality. I get it. I hope you can at least sit back and say, well, thank God he just put three conservative justices on the Supreme Court, because we've got some very big issues in front of this court. They already ruled on the right side of the vaccine mandate coming from Biden on private companies. They've got abortion on target. They've got the gun rights issue in front of them. And now they're going to get this biggie. This is a controversial set of laws that they're looking over, or precedent that they're looking over. I can't wait. This is good.
You get excited over all this weird nerd stuff.
Why, thank you, my Asian American producer who didn't get the job because he is Asian and I didn't give him any extra points, mostly because I thought it was Latino.
Yeah, I mean, it's confusing. I know. It's very confusing. You know, when you see me, it's just like,
and all the
Latino,
other people who
is
apply,
he Asian?
It's just like, whatever. I don't even know. This is he's the only one who showed up for.
You needed more diversity on this show.
Yeah, definitely got ideological and intellectual diversity now. There's one who's smart, and there's one who's my producer. Burn.
Am I the smart one?
No, I said am my producer.
Yeah, I just thought I filled.
Well, you're the producer. I don't produce the show myself.
I mean, you kind of do.
That's all.
You do all the work.
That's very true.
You tell me every day how little work I do and how I don't fulfill any of your needs for this show, and that
emotionally either you
just kind of a waste of space in this building. So I kind of figured
you come here, be honest, for the free food that's sometimes left in the newsroom.
Yeah, there's been those little applets out there. The what are those candies?
I think that's what, isn't that what it is?
The applets and the
Ugh,
yeah,
gross.
Those things.
Disgusting. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We are live on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app. If you don't have it, you should download it immediately. Otherwise, you are being selfish by not tuning in to the show 3 hours a day, Monday through Friday. And then, of course, subscribing to the podcast to catch anything you missed, or maybe even just relive the best moments of the show, which are 3 hours of content Monday through Friday. And it's selfish not to give me all that time while also going to the blog and reading my content or watching me on Fox News. I just think if you're not giving me everything, shame on you. Shame on you.
Our listeners really need to step it up and just absorb the Jason Rantz Show as much as possible. You can even catch it on the weekends, too, Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah, although I'm not going to pretend to even know when they're on.
They're
throughout the weekend.
Yeah, you can find them there. But it's the best of the Jason Rantz Show, which is basically any segment, because all segments are
I said that already. I did that.
But you didn't talk about the weekend ones. That's specifically the weekend.
I mean, that's the best of the best of.
Yes.
Right?
But all your content, in theory, qualifies for best of.
Yeah. That's why it's on like five times over the weekend.
Yeah.
For five different shows.
Because it's just so
15
good.
Hours worth of content over the weekends. So we are still hearing from folks pushing vaccines at all costs. And they're doing it at a time where I think the majority of people realize that the vaccine doesn't stop the spread of Omicron. That's not an argument against getting the vaccine. It is an argument against people claiming that the only way to fight COVID is to get the vaccine. And yes, there is a difference. Because I've certainly heard from doctors who say that Omicron will kind of knock you down. It won't kill you for the most part. I mean, this is, again, assuming you are otherwise not dealing with a severe underlying health condition. But if you are unvaccinated and you get Omicron, it's going to knock you down. It's going to knock you out for a couple days. If you have the vaccine, if you're fully vaccinated, and if you get that booster on top of it, you won't get hit as hard. Some people disagree with that. Okay, that's what the experts that I have sort of come to trust have said. And I come to trust them because they say things that oftentimes the mainstream media isn't saying. And in other times, they say, no, they're right on this. So I trust those folks. But this idea that getting the vaccine will stop the spread of COVID is absurd. Most people realize that. Why? Any ideas? Any ideas? Why people no longer believe that COVID is stopped by the vaccine?
Because COVID's still around.
Because everyone has COVID!
And a lot of people are vaccinated and there's a lot of COVID.
There's a ton of COVID! And now, at this point, you almost certainly know someone or someones who got COVID while vaccinated. I haven't gotten it yet. Knock on wood. We'll see when that changes.
It's coming soon.
At some point, it's going to hit me. We're all going to get Omicron. Oh, but did you hear? There's a new variant. It's called, I think they called it the silent Omicron or something like that. Some other nebulous, but also just kind of scary sounding term. Oh, but don't worry, because it doesn't do anything any different than the current Omicron, meaning it is a cold. For some people, it's mild. For some people, it's pretty rough. But it's a cold. That's how it's being discussed. And now we're being told by Dr. Celine Gunder from Kaiser Health. She was on with MSNBC. She said new variants are guaranteed, which we know. So you better get that vaccine.
We will inevitably see more variants down the line. We still have not vaccinated enough people in this country to really insulate us from the impact of variants. We're still at about 2/3 of people who are fully vaccinated, the remaining third not fully vaccinated.
Oh, no.
And so that does leave us vulnerable. We can assume that at least every couple of years, we will see a new variant.
Okay, so what exactly are you saying? Because the way that this is being framed and implied is that if you get everyone vaccinated, we get rid of this thing, which we know is false. We know that that's not true. That's not an anti-vax position. That's a science position. Viruses just don't go away. They're still there. So tell me how many, she goes, Not enough people are getting vaccinated. Okay, how many people need to get vaccinated? Because from that, it sounds like you're saying 100%, which is not attainable. You will never get 100% compliance. They know that. That you got the compliance that you currently got is insane to me already. How many in 2018, so before COVID plus a year, right? 2018 to 2019, how many people got the flu vaccine? Any guesses? Say 169
million. 169
million
people.
That is insane.
Did I nail it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I only wrote 169 down. There's in change. But I'm giving you that because that's
you.
A lot.
Thank you. I'm pretty good at this.
That's pretty amazing. You're as good as I am with guessing populations of cities, although I don't cheat. You do.
I don't cheat.
So 169 million flu doses, which is one dose, right? You get one shot for the flu every single year if you get it. Or you get shamed into getting one like my doctor's trying to do to me now and I'm so far resisting. Because screw you. How many doses right now, fully vaccinated? Fully vaccinated. So that's two doses of COVID has there been. 210 million. Way more than 169. So why are we not talking about this in the same way that we would talk about the flu? Given that at this point, so far, it's going the route that we generally expected. The more variants that come out, generally, in a case like this, because we're starting from scratch, basically, it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Does it get weaker in part because of an immune response caused by the vaccine? Maybe, I'm assuming so. But we can at least acknowledge that the one that we have right now that's dominating almost every single COVID case is a weak version of what we originally had. With more people who are fully vaccinated right now than who are normally fully vaccinated against the flu. So what are you telling us? What is my takeaway? Oh, we'll get a new variant next year? Yeah, it's true. We'll probably get a new one this year. Kind of like with the flu. So why aren't we going back to normal? Why isn't the vast majority of people right now allowed to go back to normal like they are in the United Kingdom? The United Kingdom has gotten rid of their mask mandates and the vaccine passports. They're doing it now in large part because the Omicron surge, the peak, was last week, and it's gone down dramatically. Due to natural immunity. Or people who were, say vaccinated.
Vaccinated, Jason.
Who got what?
COVID.
Exactly. And yet, do we have any of those conversations in this country nationally from the Democratic Party? We have them in Florida and Texas and other red states. They're saying it's time to, they've been saying it's time to move on for the longest time. They never actually went into the lockdowns that very clearly did not work. I understand why people thought it would work. I understand that. And I don't even get angry at early steps to try to contain this thing. Because was it possible that this was a virus that doesn't act like other viruses? Is it possible? Yes. Are human beings, at the start of a pandemic, are they going to make some bad decisions? Yes. Do I assume it was done with good intentions? Yes, I do. I do. Let's not pretend that Republicans didn't put forward some of the same policies as the Democrats at the beginning. I totally understand why they did that. Now, obviously, if you look and say, well, we didn't really truly do a lockdown because you still allowed everyone to go everywhere. So it still spread. It was useless. You told folks to put on masks at the beginning. I totally understand why. Because you didn't realize at the time that it was truly airborne, that it could pass that way. You thought, oh, it was droplets. So let's cut down on some of the droplets. Again, I'm going to assume that there was a good faith effort to protect people early on. No doubt. We are well past that. That I no longer think this is good faith efforts. Now I think you have ulterior motives. And the ulterior motive could be in good faith, but the way you're doing it is not. you'd be well-intentioned with the way that you're pushing this stuff to get people vaccinated. I don't think people are who are making these decisions are trying to get people vaccinated for bad reasons. I don't believe that. I think they think that it's ultimately good. And maybe it is. For the vast majority of people, I'd probably agree with that. But the way that they're doing it is so dishonest. And there is a cost to doing it that way. And the cost comes with public trust. It is going away. You have a large and growing group of folks, not just conservatives, who no longer trust the public health officials who are out there giving us all of the advice that they're giving us. I still hear from folks telling us to wear cloth masks. We knew in October of 2020 that cloth masks did not work. We knew that in 2020, October. They could have said at the time, go with the KN95 stuff or whatever that one is. What's the other one? N95, which you're not going to be able to find anyway, and it has to be properly fitted, and you got to go through a test to do it. So we're talking about the KN95 stuff, which, by the way, if you go on Amazon, you're buying most likely ripoffs that are coming from China, according to some stories that I've been seeing. But we're told that. Here's the deal. You know why some people who wore a mask didn't catch COVID? Any guesses? Do you have a guess? I can just tell you.
Please, I would love it if you just
I'm not going to whisper in your
no,
ear.
No, please.
Cheat.
I wasn't going to have you
No, you gave me a look like, no. I don't know. Do you want me to say something? I saw that look.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Luck.
Oh, yeah. No, luck, of course.
Happenstance.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Or, I suppose, a natural immunity that you were born with. For the most part, I am not lucky in anything. I've not gotten COVID due to luck. Not because I'm religious about wearing a mask. Not because I stayed in my house the entire time. I traveled to Phoenix twice. I've been to Dallas. I've been to Florida two or three times.
Vegas, Tampa.
Vegas, New York during the height of Omicron. And I have yet to catch it. That's luck. Or I have some sort of natural immunity. Or I suppose I had COVID in the past and I didn't realize it. And it's offered me a superhuman amount of protection. I could be a mutant. Which I've been secretly hoping for at least X-Men the First Class.
That's the point when you're like, wow.
I lost it a little bit when I saw Logan because I was like, oh my God, this got dark. I thought they lived forever. Apparently not. And he gets Alzheimer's? What's the point of being a mutant? Then I stopped wanting to be a mutant so much. But I want like the good stuff.
That's what went through your mind when you watched Logan?
Yeah. I want it to be like more Marvel movies. Their version, I know they're all in the same universe, but because of the Sony versus Disney or whatever.
Yeah.
I want the non-Sony version.
You want all the chipper, happy stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every once in a while you got to kill them off. Otherwise, people are all like, well, this actor's been there for a long time. It doesn't make sense. Like in Internals. Oh, that just came out on video. I won't give any spoilers. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Have you heard of a game called Wordle?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
If you play Wordle?
Hold on. What is this, the Peyton Barron Show?
You don't strike me as a Wordle?
Who leads the conversation here?
Producer Peyton.
No. Okay. Otherwise, your name would be attached to the show. What are you eating? What are you eating over there?
Fried rice.
Okay. Okay, man. Let's relax.
What?
What am I eating? Matzah. We can get out of stereotypes.
It's a chicken fried. It's from Costco. Does that like?
Okay. So, I don't even know what matzah is. That was a good joke. It's a Jewish food.
That's what I assumed. I could connect those dots.
It's not unleavened bread. It's awful. But we pretend that it's a treat. It's not. Okay. Wordle has been getting a whole bunch of attention. I only found out about it because people were tweeting out their Wordle scores. I have no idea why this game suddenly became a big thing, but it reminds me of the explosion of the Pokemon app where people were walking around like idiots looking for stupid little things that I caught a blah, blah, blah.
At least that one promoted like health.
I guess until the people were walking into the middle of the street getting hit by cars because they were going after a Pikachu thing.
Survival of the fittest.
Fair enough. So Wordle is basically, it's got some Wheel of Fortune vibes. You get five chances, or maybe six chances, to guess a five-letter word. It's all blank. So let's say the first word was crime, you put in. Well, there's a C in the actual word, and there's an R, and even an M. And if it's in the right spot to spell out the word of the day, it shows up as green. If it's the right word or the right letter, but not in the right spot, it shows up as yellow. And if it's a letter that's not in this secret word, it just shows up as brown. So you know not to use it again. So you got five or six chances to get to it. And it's fun. I played it for the first time yesterday because everyone else was doing it. Except you have to wait 24 hours for the next word. And I didn't realize that. In fact, I didn't even know what Wordle looked like until I went on my iPhone and went into the App Store and downloaded an app called Wordle, which was a game that also dealt with words and is very, very difficult. Where is Wordle actually available?
I don't know.
Not an iPhone!
Really?
I was playing a game called Wordle, trying to figure out why everyone else was screenshotting or tweeting a certain kind of icon for the game based on results. And I'm here like, I can't even get past the first round. It's so hard. What's going on? I did not Google Wordle, nothing, until last night when I Googled, why is Wordle so hard? Only to find out that I was not playing Wordle. I was playing a ripoff of Wordle that is nothing like the actual game. It's only available apparently on an Android phone or on your desktop. So I went onto the desktop and I figured out yesterday's word. It was crimp, and I got it on the third try because I started with crazy and then I went with crime and then I figured it out.
So you played it. How long did you play that app for before you realized you're not?
A week! A full week! Or maybe 6 days.
What a fool.
I was like, oh my God. And then the actual Wordle game is much more fun than the one I was playing. Apparently, Apple took down a whole bunch of fake ones because they were making money off of people like me downloading it, expecting the actual game. It's not my fault. How am I supposed to know it's not going to be on the iPhone? It's a Jason Rant Show.